Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Kansas City has a problem with vacant homes. 12,000 of them dot neighborhoods around town. Legislation that Governor Jay Nixon signed this year is designed to provide a new solution. That solution is called a land bank, and Nixon says this is a way to replace deterioration with innovation. We'll find out what a land bank is later on this hour. But first, a conversation with Lilly Ledbetter. A new law bearing her name was the first measure President Barack Obama signed when he took office early in 2009. The issue was equal pay at the Goodyear plant where she worked in Alabama, and Lilly Ledbetter's fight took her all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. She has a new book out, Grace and Grit, My Fight for Equal Pay and Fairness at Goodyear and Beyond, and she speaks in Kansas City tonight. And Lilly, so good to have you here. Welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
You know, let's begin where this book begins, Lilly, and it's such a dramatic moment. This is in 1998 when you were about to begin your shift one day as a manager in quality control at Goodyear. You reported to work that day and checked your mail, and in your box you found an anonymous note. What did it say?
It had my name and three men, and those three white guys and I had the same job, just a different shift. And what I saw on that paper was not only our names, but our monthly base pay. And that was devastating to me because that meant that my overtime pay had never been what it should have been and what I was entitled to under the law. It was so devastating to think about just in those few seconds how embarrassing and how much my family had done without simply because I had not been treated fairly.
Wow. And these men had all begun roughly at the same time you had at Goodyear in the late 70s, right?
That's correct. We all had started at the same time because we all went into the radio plant. I was a new hire, but a lot of the men had gotten promoted out of the union into management positions, having gone into the radio tire plant at the same time.
You know, you wrote of this moment, I couldn't shake the realization of how stupid I'd been to try so hard and think that it would pay off. But why feel stupid?
Well, I really had credited myself with being an intelligent person and knowing laws that pertain to me. And I felt sure, working for Goodyear Tire and Rubber, and they had government contracts, sizable contracts from the day I hired in, and they still had them the day I retired and left. And I thought, sure, they would have to adhere to all federal laws. But what I found out, they had not.
And so you felt like you had just missed the boat completely.
That's right, because it not only hurt me and my family during those years, but see, it goes on today. My retirement is based on what I was earning. My contributory retirement is a percentage of what I earned. And my 401k at that time was 10% of my salary, matched by 6%. And my Social Security. All of this was based on what I earned. I will be a second-class citizen in my income for the rest of my life, and today there's nothing else I can do to try to get that back.
Up to that point, did you have any inkling that you weren't being paid the same as the mail managers?
Common sense told me that I was probably not getting the exact same pay, but I felt sure that Goodyear would treat me and I would be in the ballpark, as I like to say. But to tell you the truth, I wasn't even in the fence. I had never got in the gate.
How big a discrepancy was there?
40% between mine and those three men.
40%?
40%.
So that's why those numbers hit you like a bolt out of the blue that day.
That's why it was so devastating. And then to think about the difference in their retirements and my retirement.
Man, you knew at that moment, you write in your book, that my horizon had transformed, my life had shifted, and a storm was headed my way. What are you talking about there?
Well, I'm the type of individual, I couldn't let it go. I wanted to. I was 2 years away from retirement, and I knew when I started this, I'd be in for a long haul. I'd be in for a hard battle and a lot of retaliation, but I couldn't let it go, simply because the law had covered me, and that was not right. So I told my family I had to file a charge with equal employment, and I can tell you up front, if we start, we'll be in it 8 years. And my husband replied, "What time do you want to leave?" And he stayed with me through it until his death in December of 08. But it was a long, hard fight. That 8 years turned out to be 9 years from the time I filed the charge until I got the final verdict, and never got a dime, never will get a dime, because when the Supreme Court ruled, they not only took the award of $300,000, which started out being $3 million, but they took my 2 years back pay. Individually, you can only get 2 years back, no matter how long you have worked. But they took that, too. And really, I was still entitled to that. That 180-day rule didn't have anything to do with that.
Well, if you had known then what you know today, it was going to be not 8 years, but nine, it would take you all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, would you still have done it?
Yes, sir. I would, without a shadow of a doubt.
Because
it's not right. And what I have learned, this is not just a deep southern problem. It's from north to south to east to west, and it's also international as well. So many women and their families are so shortchanged in their pay, and that means that their families are doing without. And oftentimes that woman is a sole breadwinner, and some of them are working two jobs trying to make ends meet, and they still can't do it. They still have to have help and outside support. This is not right.
And Lily, I'm getting the impression right away that they messed with the wrong woman here.
Well, you know, it's not right. And this country is made up of laws and things that we all should follow and have our lives geared toward. And we depend on those. And we depend on people in office to make sure that we're covered and those laws are enforced.
We're visiting with Lily Ledbetter, whose fight for equal pay at Goodyear led to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. She has a new book out titled Grace and Grit. How did your coworkers react to the lawsuit and the legal action?
Initially, the ones who could call me at home or they'd see me outside, they would give me a pat on the back and say, go get them. You know, this shouldn't have happened. But in the plant, the atmosphere and the retaliation was unbearable, basically, because being in that new job without a manual to go by,
The new job was what they took you off of what you enjoyed, which was building tires. They put you back into quality control where you had to move big, heavy tires, and you weren't crazy about that job.
No, I hated it. I was not a quality control person.
And they put you in that job because they knew you wouldn't like it.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And they took one of my tire builders in all reality and put him in my job. I mean, a tire builder off of a machine and put him in my job. But yet, I knew that I could not get any help. I was on a back shift without anything to go by in a dark corner to inspect tires, without a hoist, and these were Hummer tires. You know how large they are and how much they weigh.
And you're not a large woman.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, when I took the early retirement, they wanted me to stay an extra month to train two men to do the job.
Hmm. So, and you said you were back in that corner inspecting these Hummer tires with a flashlight, Lily.
That's right. No proper lighting. They didn't make the setup good. Not anyone could have done that job properly in those conditions.
So they wanted you gone.
They wanted me gone. They did.
Yeah. So you began to fight.
I did.
And you took your fight where first?
I took it to the federal court in Alabama. My court case was heard in my home county with a federal jury of seven people.
And you won.
$3.8 million. When I heard that was the greatest moment of my life, to hear they had found in my favor and $3.8 million. And it was not about the amount. It was not about that. It was simply because they found in my favor. But the judge had to explain to the courtroom how I was only entitled to $300,000. Congress put a cap on what I could get in 1991. So my $3 million dropped to $300,000, and the back pay is only for 2 years. So he mm-hmm. took the lowest paid male where in the department I worked in and gave me $30,000 per year. No overtime adjustments, nothing for that, and there's nothing in the law that allows a person to recap or regain any of their lost retirements, even when they win.
Were you surprised by the jury's verdict at that point after having sat through the whole thing, or did you see it coming?
Well, the first three cases, the suits I had, they had said no, no, no. And the third one was the age discrimination. I really wanted to win that one because basically the way I saw it by the labor, by the job moves, they forced me out. They put me in a no-win situation. And I really wanted to win that, but I lost it. And so there was one left. And when I heard we find in a plaintiff's favor, I was so thrilled to hear that. And the lawyers had told me, do not look at the jury. Don't look them in the face. Don't look at the Goodyear attorneys. Don't make any emotions, outward signs, no matter what the verdict. And it was hard to not go, yes. But I had to sit on my hands because I was so thrilled right at that moment.
Why did the attorney say don't emote whatsoever?
I don't know. I never thought to go back and ask. I never knew. I don't know. But I never found out. But they didn't want me making any. I guess cry would probably be the thing they'd expect if I lost. But I wouldn't have cried. Never.
Well, if our listeners have questions for Lilly Ledbetter, President Barack Obama's first action in office was to sign a law named after Lilly. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, UpToDate. At KCUR.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page or tweet us at KCUR up to date. So then Goodyear appealed, right?
That's correct. It went to the 11th Circuit. 11th Circuit said I waited too long, and my attorneys appealed.
You waited too long to
file my charge?
Mm-hmm. Initially.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what they said.
And they said you should have filed it when?
Back in the when I got the first discriminatory paycheck, even though I didn't know it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't understand. That's what the U.S. Supreme Court ended up saying, too. What did they base that on? If you didn't know what your coworkers were making, how can they possibly suggest that's the date from which your award should have been calculated from?
They can't. And the law had always been based on paycheck accrual rule, which if an individual is still getting a check, that starts a new accounting period. All the cases prior to the Ledbetter versus Goodyear mm-hmm. had always been ruled in the plaintiff's favor. And this should have been a no decision type decision, really. It should have been instantly we find in the plaintiff's favor. But what happened when we went to the Supreme Court, the United States, like the Equal Employment Commission, had always sent in a lawyer to argue along the side mine. But when we got to the Supreme Court, the United States lawyer took Goodyear's side and stated something to the effect, we can't let this case go forward. If we do, there'll be multiple cases coming out. And that's not true. They never had been. One thing, most people don't want to give up 8, 9, 10 years of their life to fight a charge like this.
What kind of, how tough was that for you to go through so many years fighting this case?
It's tough, but I knew going in it'd be at least 8 because you'd never see a quick solution to cases like this.
How did you afford it?
I found a law firm who took my case on a contingent basis, which meant they would have got 50% of anything I got. But mm-hmm. that law firm has $500,000 in billable hours and cost in my case. They never got a dime. Hmm. Never got a dime.
Our listeners can see and hear Lilly Ledbetter this evening. She'll be speaking on the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Restoration Act at 7 tonight. She'll be at Unity Temple on the Plaza. For tickets, call Rainy Day Books in Fairway. That's 913-384-3126. And what kind of support did you get from your coworkers as this case wound its way through?
Very little, basically, but I did. I had two wonderful, brave women. One had been an area manager at Goodyear. Mm-hmm. She sold her 22 years service. She'd been in the union and then got the area manager slot. But she sold her service and was a supervisor at Honda at the time. And she took a day's vacation and came to court. And they asked her on the stand, why did you never complain? She said, I was a divorced mother supporting a handicapped son. We live paycheck to paycheck. And I knew if I asked about my pay, I wouldn't have a job. Because Goodyear said, if we discussed our pay, we wouldn't work there.
Hmm. That's pretty tough stuff.
It's tough.
What was it like working in that plant all those years?
It was a great job. It was really a great job. But union men and women basically supported me. I got more flack and problems from my coworkers on the same level or superiors than I did with my union people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us about the kinds of problems you had to endure there.
It was a lot of my off-going shift would leave me without enough stock maybe to start up a machine because the name of the game in production are numbers. You've got to have quality numbers. You've got to keep a tire in every press when it opens and it's automatic. So to have an off-going shift to leave me in bad situation, but I'd have union men and women who'd come in early and get on their trucks and make sure the stock was there. And I can't say enough for the people. They realized that I would treat them fair and treat them like they were equals to me because basically that's how we were. And mm-hmm. we worked as a team, and it worked.
But you also had to endure your own share of harassment and that kind of thing.
Yes. In fact, I filed a charge in the early 80s, which meant I knew the system. And I filed that charge on sexual harassment because the man flat out said, if you don't go to bed with me, and you won't have a job. And I had college tuition. I had a home mortgage. My husband was working a part-time job. And I had to have my income. I could not afford to lose my job. And that was not the kind of person I was.
Did that act by yourself to file that charge, did that save your position at Goodyear then?
It did. In fact, when the Equal Employment did the investigation, they found in my favor, offered me the right to sue, but I wasn't in the suing business. This was never a dream of mine. I certainly did not want to go through this. No one would. Women don't want to file charges. They don't want to give up their personal time. They don't want to have to go through and withstand. Even you get criticism from people that you don't even think about. You may be walking through the grocery store and somebody says, what were you thinking of being in that man's job? And there again, I want to know why it's a man's job. It was a job. If I was qualified, eligible, and could do it, that should have been a woman's job. It didn't have to say man's job. Hmm. It's just that most of them had been held by men.
Lily Ledbetter is our guest. She sued for equal pay. She won. She lost. She's written a book. The book is titled Grace and Grit. Again, you can see her tonight at 7 at Unity Temple on the Plaza. For tickets, call Rainy Day Books in Fairway, 913-384-3126. Well, take us to the U.S. Supreme Court. The court ultimately rules, as you said, 5-4 against you. You lost on a technicality. The court ruled that you should have filed suit, as you mentioned, within 180 days of receiving your first unequal paycheck. You didn't know, though, that you were receiving unequal paychecks. What did Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg say from the bench that day that stays with you even to this day?
It does. It is so reassuring to me that justice can be achieved. Justice Ginsburg read her dissent, every word, loud and clear. And she said, these people don't understand what it's like in the real world. People don't stand around water coolers discussing their pay. And even if you knew someone was making more than you, it might not mean that it is discrimination. And she challenged Congress to take up the ball. She said, the ball is in your court. It's up to you to change this horrible injustice back. Because all of the years previous, you know, it had been interpreted. It would have gone in my favor. And they actually changed the law. And Justice Alito, when he read the opinion, he didn't say I had not been discriminated against. He just said I waited too long. And that was not true. I filed my charge within a matter of days after I found out.
So how did you feel about that ruling? You're still angry, I can tell.
Well, it was not correct. It was not correct. And what it caused from May of 2007 to July that year, there were over 300 cases, not even pay-related, just done away with based on that 180-day technicality. And this was not right. So that was another reason that the outcry across this nation was so great to change this back. And there were so many people from coast to coast, was calling Congress, lobbying their their politicians from their state to get this bill passed. And one of the things that I'm so proud of today is the fact that I can say the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act was co-sponsored by Republicans as well as Democrats, because what I talk about is simply an American right.
Mm-hmm.
This is civil rights, and it should belong to each party, both parties. And when Paycheck Fairness came up about a month ago in the Senate, not one Republican, not one, would go across and vote for the Paycheck Fairness. And we need that. Had that been the law, I wouldn't have got trapped
so,
in this.
The Lilly Ledbetter Act then doesn't guarantee equal pay.
No.
It simply deals with when you have to file a grievance, right?
That's correct. You do have that law that if you find out you're being discriminated against, you can file a charge.
From whatever point you find out that you're being discriminated against. The 180-day thing is history.
As long as you're still getting that check, it starts a new accounting period.
And now there's a new fight in Congress, which is over equal pay. What's that about?
That's the Paycheck Fairness, which would give employees the right to discuss their pay with coworkers or with even their superior and be able to get more and more concrete information on what they should be getting.
And right now you can't do that?
You can't do that. It's against the law. And if you do it, in most companies, they can fire you.
So you found yourself then, you went from building tires to lobbying Congress and rubbing shoulders with people like Barack Obama. He was a senator who took up your cause. Tell us about that and what your impressions were of him.
I was very impressed. And in working with some of the other senators, like Senator Ted Kennedy, he described Senator Obama's when he first came to the Hill. He went around and introduced himself to all of the other seasoned senators, and he asked for help. And that impressed me more about him, that he realized that he needed some help. And I have been so impressed with him and how he fought for the American families, because that's what was strengthened the United States and put us back out front.
What surprised you about going to Washington and meeting all these famous folks who were working on your behalf?
It was quite astonishing. I met some people that I work for today. Some I'll go out and help them raise money for their campaigns and various things. When I first started, though, I only could meet their assistants. But today, when I go up to the Senate or the Congress building, I can get the real congresswoman or man, or I can get the real senator.
You can walk in and get the real McCoy.
That's
here,
right.
Then.
That's right.
So were you at the president's inauguration then? Because he signed your act very quickly, right?
Yes, I was. And I was the second one to be allowed to dance with him at the neighborhood ball right after Michelle. I was the next one. In fact, there's an 8x10 photo in the Washington Post hardback book.
What kind of dancer is he?
He's great. Very smooth.
Yeah.
Very smooth. And the name of my book, Grace and Grit, the grace is because I did ballroom dancing competition for 8 years. So it was a good match. And
you could stay with him.
I could.
Yeah. Well, when did you leave Goodyear?
I left November the 1st, 1998, and that was the day my mother passed away, too.
Mm-hmm. You needed to take care of her at that time, you said.
Well, that's why I was retiring, but then she passed away on the first day of my retirement.
Hmm. So how did you make money during those years you were having this gargantuan legal fight against Goodyear in those years?
I spent all of my 401k.
Mm-hmm.
I spent everything that I had ever saved in that, which depleted all of my resources. And then when my husband got sick with cancer, we depleted what he had saved. And then when he died, I found myself struggling, like all the other widows across this country, to try to stay in my home and stay self-sufficient.
And how did you do it?
Well, I started out lobbying in Washington with donations from people that would support to send me to Washington with plane tickets and lodging. And sometimes they would give me money to buy gas or to pay my parking at the airport. And today I'm listed with a Speaker's Bureau, and I get to go around the country sharing my story. Sometimes I get paid.
What is the moral of your story? What are we left with here?
I want the young college people coming out of college to negotiate and to research and to know the laws that pertain to them, and to get their job initially and get the money up front that they should get legally, and if that employment person that they're talking to won't and don't have a good program, go to another one. Because one thing I like and have made a difference in, there are a lot of companies and corporations that are turning their programs around. And what they're doing, they're going out and recruiting women and minorities and making sure that they're going to into the maths, sciences, engineering, and research. And this is critical that we get these people because they're so highly educated and have so much to give.
Do you think too many young folks, men and women these days, Lily, simply take the salary that's offered and don't ask any questions and just say, you bet, sign me up and off you go? Because the economy these days is so slow, people will pretty much take anything.
That's true. In fact, the economy has scared a lot of people, so oh, I can't ask. But you can, because I know for a fact there are employers who are going into this recruiting women. In fact, they'll even go down and host the young high school young women who are excelling in science and math to try to encourage them to get interested in sciences or engineering. And that is benefiting them as well as the company, mm-hmm. because later they can go back maybe and get that person as an employee.
And so today, unequal pay is how big of an issue in this country?
Very big. Very big. Trust me, it's not turning around nearly fast enough. Why?
Even after your big fight.
Right. Even think about it. The lady who got headed up at Yahoo a few weeks ago, front page news, big middle of the page picture, article, female heading up Yahoo. Why is that front page news? That should be old hat. It should be a little paragraph back over in the money section like the men's announcements are. But it's front page news simply because there are so few women at the top of corporations. There are so few women on boards that really can have a control and make a difference. That's the one thing that when I go to college campuses, I want to excite those young women to get into politics. And when you get out of college, don't wait around. Go ahead and run for a commissioner or a school board member, something in your community. Get your name out. Start working and go on to Washington. There are so few women there to make a difference.
Again, Lily Ledbetter speaks tonight at 7 at Unity Temple on the Plaza. For tickets, call Rainy Day Books and Fairway, 913-384-3126. Her new book, Grace and Grit, and you displayed a whole lot of that here today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to share my story, and I hope I prevent just one person in your audience from making this mistake that I did. It'll be worth everything. Thank you.
That's Lily Ledbetter. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a new law designed to help Kansas City with its vacant lots. It's called Land Banks. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.